This is BBC Radio 4. The award-winning comedian Mark Watson re-embarks on his doomed quest to understand life. That's coming up shortly. Have Helen and Lee come to a decision about the future? We'll find out in The Archers just after the news at 7 o'clock. And on Front Row at 7:15, the Oscar winner Michael Douglas talks about his new film, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Hello, this is Sharon Horgan. And because this is radio, you can't see me, obviously. But if you could, you'd probably be wondering why I'm sat in a wheelbarrow from Monty Don's garden, wearing Graham Norton's jacket, holding a winner's trophy from Pointless. Well, there's a good reason. Because these are just some of the iconic BBC items that you could win this year as part of Red Nose Day. Oi, we haven't finished with the wheelbarrow yet. To enter, find out more, or donate to Comic Relief, go to bbc.co.uk/Red Nose Day. We'll find the terms and conditions and privacy notice. You must be 18 or over to enter. The giveaway closes at 11:59pm on Saturday, 18th of March, 2023. Good luck.
Now on Radio 4, Mark Watson, his wing women, Flo and Joan, and this week his special guest, Angela Barnes, attempt to make sense of and talk a bit about life.
Mark Watson talks, here he goes again. Mark Watson talks, he's always talking. Mark Watson talks a bit about life. Mostly his.
Thank you very much and welcome back to Mark Watson Talks a Bit About Life. Thank you for joining us or for being stuck in a car with someone who is joining us or for just not having quite found the will to turn off the radio. Stay with me. Continue your cooking. A souffle requires minute-by-minute observation. We measure out our lives in little units of time. Bin collection on a Friday, life drawing on a Sunday, persuading the bin man to come to life drawing the following Friday, seeing the bin man's bits the next Sunday. I'm just talking about the universal stuff. As mentioned last week, part of the theme of this series is the ways in which time and fate influence our personalities. Some of these factors are quite obvious and undeniable, like being brought up with money or privilege. You might have had the experience of meeting someone at Freshers Week or a new colleague at work, and you're amazed by how much confidence they seem to have. And then on leaving them, you say, sorry, I didn't catch your name. And it's like Kathy Microsoft. Oh, sorry. Sometimes it can be years before you make the connection between a person and a family fortune. And then one day you go, oh, hang on, James Pictionary. According to the nursery rhyme, though, our behaviour starts to be shaped as soon as fate deals us the day of birth. Tuesday's child, as you know, is said to be full of grace. The first thing to say about that is we've got not one but two Tuesday's children on the stage. My friend and colleague Angela Barnes and also, one of Flo and Joan. I've never found out who's who yet. one of those situations where it's now too late to ask. So anyway, please welcome Angela and Flo and Joan. Angela, what do you, your Tuesday child, how have you traditionally felt about the expectation to be full of grace? It's quite a tricky thing to...
Yeah, and I'm definitely not full of grace or graceful. My dad used to say that it was a bit of a celestial cock-up, me being born. Because I was born premature, so we worked out the day I was supposed to be born. My due date was 6 weeks later, and on a Thursday, which is Thursday's child has far to go.
Yeah.
And that makes more sense to me, because I live on the Southern Mail Network.
So every journey is far to go.
Every journey is far to go. But I'm not a graceful person. I once got concussion and ended up in hospital overnight because I walked through an open door and missed. Which you'd think is impossible, but
it isn't. What, just into the bit next to the door?
Just into the bit next to the door, and I had the mark of the door frame down my face. And I always thought maybe I'd grow into being graceful and gracious and all the things that, you know, a child full of grace should be. And it never... I thought I'd grow into one of those women, and there'll be some of them here tonight, I'm sure of it, who wake up in the morning and with nothing but confidence put on a white top. You know, and by lunchtime they don't look like Bruce Willis at the end of Die Hard. That's the graceful woman I thought I'd be, but it hasn't happened.
No, if you're listening, Angela has a fairly dark coloured top on.
Yeah, always.
Covered already in shit. And so Flo and Joan, you were also born on a Tuesday. Because of the name thing, it's just, is it all right to refer to you as just one person going forward?
Actually, Mark, we find that very rude. Very rude. We are actually two very separate, very different people. Thank you. Take it away.
Oh, one of us has a right hand and one of us has a left.
See two very different separate people. Yeah, we are style, we are grace, and we do not share a face. We are two separate people doing two separate things. We don't wear the same clothes, and we each have our own nose. And I am not allowed to go in her house. Look, we don't even laugh the same. Hee hee hee, ho ho ho, ha ha ha. One of us can dance, and one of us can also dance.
Ballet.
It's cute to be compared when you're six, but we're two adult women. Do you think French and Saunders have this problem? No, because everybody respects them. We definitely do not share a bowel. Take it on home. We have 10 fingers and 10 toes between us. What happened to the other ones? You'll never know. We're two separate people doing two separate things. And one of us is filled with grace. It's me.
Flo and Joan, her mother must be very proud. Of all the attributes listed in the old nursery rhyme, full of grace is maybe the hardest to pin down. Grace is an interesting word. Sometimes it refers to acceptance that you have done wrong, as in the phrase, have the good grace to accept you should not have brought Vladimir Putin to my cousin's party. And the phrase, all welcome, needs to be interpreted with common sense. Sometimes as a first name, as Angela's mentioned, it seems so apt that you wonder whether nominative determinism really is a thing. Like when you see the elegance of Grace Jones moving across the stage and think her parents did well there, not calling her old trippy over Jones. Sometimes the sudden occurrence of the word grace at the dinner table is how you find out some friends you don't know that well are Christians. And again, you feel silly. You think, oh, all the clues were there, the cross around the neck, they're always busy on Sundays. Oh, yeah, and that time Graham's car broke down and instead of calling the AA, he started to pray. If we put it all together, it seems to be true that grace as an ideal includes acting with elegance, with acceptance, and being a model and soul icon. Anyone want to guess what day of the week Grace Jones was born on, by the way?
Wednesday.
Wednesday is right. She should have been called Woe Jones.
That does sound like something that you say to the butler to tell him to back off.
Woe Jones!
Woe Jones!
I'm sorry, sir. It feels like a difficult thing to achieve in an often trying world, whether you were born on Tuesday or not. My son was. And, well, recently he was playing a video game online and he'd become the leader of his gang online, which was a great achievement, I'm sure. But I'd gone to the trouble of making him breakfast and all of them heard him on this gamer's headset going, OK, cover me, we're going in 5, 4, 3. And then me going, fancy a crumpet? I can't say his precise words on the radio, but I wouldn't say he reacted with perfect grace. But then a question that often comes up in this series, what sort of example am I setting him? As he prepared for secondary school, there was an incident between me and another parent in which only one person showed what you would call grace, and it wasn't either of us. For this, I'm going to ask Flo and Joan to play their world-famous fun little anecdote sting.
Here we go, okay. Fun little anecdote, 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 fun little anecdote, anecdote, fun little anecdote, anecdote, Angela, 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 Angela Barnes.
Yeah. It's limiting, we can only book guests whose names sound like that. So my son was about to start secondary school and there was what was called an initiation meeting, which was a Zoom call with the head. The kid's mother couldn't attend, so I was given the login details, kept my camera off in case I required refreshments during the evening. The head is great of my son's school. She's won awards and everything for teaching. I mean, she's not Adele or something. So the head gave a talk. It was great. But then the dreaded phrase, now, has anybody got any questions? And this opened an absolute Pandora's box of neurotics. And as we've already said, it takes a fair bit for me to call someone neurotic. It really brought home to me how much time has passed since I was at school. When you're a kid and the visiting speaker to the school says, now, any questions? You remember, everyone knows to avoid eye contact for up to an hour until the teacher has to say, I'll start. How did you become a bishop in the first place? That said, almost everyone that came to our school to talk about the adult world was a fireman, talking about how you had to roll someone up in a blanket if they were on fire. I came out of my school days expecting that in adult life I'd be on fire roughly every 3 days.
Mark, for a start, I went to a girls' school, so we just always had a policeman come round telling us to carry our keys in our hand when we were walking home in the dark. And I've only recently realised it wasn't so we could open the door quickly when we got home. The thing about the any questions, that still makes me feel physically sick. And I'm that person who has to fill the void. And the one that haunts me is, you know, it was like in the 80s, when you got separated, the girls and boys at primary school, to get told about how your body's going to change in different ways.
That's a horrible any question situation.
Horrible any questions. And a school nurse said any questions, and it was silent and it was excruciating. And I asked something that will haunt me forever when I asked whether pubic hair needed to be conditioned. All I can think of. But it filled the silence.
Well, yeah. But it would have been hard to come back from that, surely. Does it? Feels late to start now. So these questions kept pinging into the chat box, and I'm watching in disbelief. One mum, for example, wrote, "My son struggles with buttons. What should I do about the uniform?" So, well, I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't write that on a public forum. That information gets through to his classmates. That kid is as good as dead on day one. We all know. Hey, button boy. What? Then one mum wrote, "What languages are offered beyond year 9? Beyond year 9? These kids are not even year 7 yet, so we're looking for a fair way into the future. We could all be dead by then, I considered writing. But I've got trouble for writing that in a previous open day. I didn't know a pandemic was coming, did I? The head said, "We offer German and Russian." This is in addition to French. "No Spanish," wrote the concerned mum. Pretty passive-aggressive, 2 question marks. I could feel myself already wanting to hide under the table, but being the man I am, I have that feeling about 10 times a day. Sometimes you can't. So you need to disconnect your Skybox, wait 5 seconds, then reconnect. "Sorry, are you still there, sir?" "Yes, just hiding." Someone went, "Ah," because of the pitiful figure of adult life that I represent, and I wanted to say, "Don't patronise me," but actually, no, I liked it. Feel free to arm me as much as you please.
It only takes about 5 years of being friends with Mark before you stop bothering.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I'm on 20, 25 hours a day. Yeah. Sometimes people text it in the morning when I've not even done anything yet. The head said, "We don't currently have a Spanish teacher." The mum wrote, "Hire one." Right, unbelievable. We're not even... Well, our kids are not even at this school yet, and this mum's just hiring and firing. Amazing. The head began to say, "Well, if enough people show an interest, perhaps we..." And the mum now wrote, "I did German for 7 years, never used it, waste of time. German, this is the amazing bit, German needs to be rethought." That's truly one of the maddest things I've read. For a start, if you used the subject for 7 years and found no value in it, that means you got up to about 3 years, thought it was pointless, and were like, "Yep, sign me up for more of that, I reckon." It's your own bad decision-making. "Yeah, we go to Cornwall every year. Never enjoy it. Always rains. Just booked in for the summer, actually." German needs to be rethought. Amazing sentiment. Hello, is that Angela Merkel? "Yes, your language needs to be rethought. Yeah, I know you're not the Chancellor anymore, but no one knows who it is now, so..."
It's Olaf Scholz.
Apart from Angela Barnes. So, anyway, Angela, German needs to be rethought. Putting the verb at the end of the sentence just means you have to wait ages to find out what it's actually about. So, yeah, if you could work on that. OK, auf Wiedersehen. Or more informally, tschüss. That's the thing. I also did 7 years of German, and I don't consider it a waste of time at all. I think we all could be better at speaking foreign languages. We should be doing it off our own bats rather than waiting for the Duolingo bird to emotionally blackmail us. You haven't opened the app for 6 hours. Guess you don't love your bird anymore. I felt the need to defend linguists everywhere. Also, and I suppose this is relevant supplementary data, I'd now had 4 wines. I began to, I believe the phrase is, weigh in. I wrote, "Hi, I did German too, and it's a major European language which opens a lot of doors." Then I started to enjoy the attention and typed, "I've published a couple of novels." Which were translated into German, and I did book events where I spoke in their language, which is, this is true, but what sort of a prick does this at an open day? Like, this kind, it turns out. By now I'd gone, just lost it, doubled down. I used the phrase German literature is a treasure trove, which, again, I stand by, but again, there's a time and a place. I rounded all this off by saying, so I don't think German does need to be rethought. I think your attitude needs to be rethought.
Right.
It's the least Mark Watson thing imaginable. There was a pause while everyone read through my diatribe. This was just... the chat box was just all me now, again and again. Maybe about 30, 45 seconds, and then the head said, and I think we'll leave it there. Rapidly, everyone started to log off. Maybe you've had a party that didn't go so well, or you've cleared the dance floor. I very much doubt you've ever emptied a school initiation day chat. I look back at that instant and wonder how I could have behaved with more grace. A lot of the time, grace seems to simply mean putting up with things. It comes up more and more as you get older, this idea of growing old gracefully. There are almost daily reminders that you're getting older. I had a targeted ad the other week for a, quote, over 40s rave. Imagine everyone getting off the dance floor, immediately checking the steps on their phone. And that's by no means the worst of it. My most upsetting targeted ad said, Mark, the great new funeral plan sweeping East London. Firstly, quite a depressing trajectory where your selected products basically go video games, cars, sex aids, ways to dispose of your body. But this is just the reality for all of us. You become older, your opinions, your convictions become less relevant. It happens. Probably everyone here knows the feeling of thinking, oh, who is that? The name's somewhere in here and it's gone. And then hours later, when it's too late, you think, ah, Mr. Blobby, that was it. If you just accept with grace that your generation doesn't get to call the shots anymore, it feels a lot like giving in. But on the other hand, if you refuse to accept that, if you cling to the values of your time or even a bygone time with complete inflexibility, you risk becoming a relic. I remember one of my low points of the pandemic. There was a moment in 2020 when the restrictions were eased, but all the advice was don't go out in large groups. And as you remember, there was then a bank holiday weekend where almost everyone in the world went to Bournemouth. And I remember watching the news as this guy was interviewed, hundreds of people around him, and the reporter said, you're not worried it's a bit too soon for this? It will cause another surge in cases. And the guy, you might have seen the clip, looked down the camera and said, my grandfather didn't fight in the Second World War, so someone could tell me whether to go to Bournemouth. I thought, well, no, of course you didn't. The war was about other matters. His thing would have been stopping Hitler and quelling the rise of fascism. I think if you could magically go back to 1945 and find this man, he wouldn't have much of an opinion on it, probably. Hi there, thanks for winning the war, firstly. We'll never forget your generation's sacrifice. Have a nice rest now. Just very quickly before you do, this is your future grandson. Was a picture of your... Yeah, it's hard to explain, I'm from the future. This is a smartphone. Oh, you've got no chance. You've not even seen Shrek. Google it. No, I can't. Yeah, just watch the first one. It sort of drops off a bit after that. These franchises do run out of steam. They're not made for multiple movies. Yes, Toy Story is the exception. But you're meant to be from the 40s. Try and stay in character if you can. My question is, in 75 years, do you think this man should be allowed to go to Bournemouth Beach? I'm pretty sure he'd say, what are you talking about, mate? I don't care who goes where on their holidays. I've just been in a war. I've got gangrene. My foot's like a cabbage. If anything, the war taught me to stay away from the beaches. But you do whatever you want, I suppose. I feel like, and this comes up quite a lot, but it's maybe more of a problem for women. There's more expectation that women age gracefully and just act graciously in general.
Well, I think that's the two sections of society that are supposed to be graceful are women and old people. And as a 46-year-old, I'm almost both. And the thing I hate getting called more than anything else is ladylike. Because I think people who call someone ladylike are the same people who think that if you are a woman who works in an office, you should wear high heels so you can get a better look at the glass ceiling, you know. And I was told, as you turn 40, as a woman, you become invisible, right? And I was like, wicked, that is the best superpower, obviously. But then I got a taste of what they meant, and I don't think I behaved very gracefully in this situation, and I'm sort of proud of it, because I was with my brother, who's 12 years younger than me. His name's Phil, or as I like to call him, whoops. And we were walking down the street together, we walked past a nightclub, and there was a guy outside the nightclub, and he was handing out flyers, and he gave Phil a flyer for the nightclub, and he didn't give me one. And I was incandescent with rage. I hate nightclubs, but that is not the point. So, and I said, how dare you give him a flyer, not give me a flyer? How dare you make the decision that I'm not the clientele you want in your... That I've got more disposable income than most 20-year-olds.
Do you have any fine wines on the list?
Wait, exactly. So I snatched the flyer out of of his hand and walked around the corner, and that's when I saw it was a flyer about the importance of checking your testicles. Although I maintain it is 2023 and he doesn't know that I didn't have testicles.
Which you'd be conditioning, of course, if you... how do we find a middle ground between grace, meaning a passive acceptance of our fate, and a lack of grace leading us to risk others' help so we can get the bucket and spade out? I feel like it's time to cast the net out into the audience. And before the show, I asked people, when have you had to be gracious about something you really shouldn't have been? I don't know what it says about this audience, but two separate people have peeves about stolen food and drink. Who wrote, all in capitals, still clearly furious, my wife stole my best bit of sirloin steak off my plate that I was saving till last. gentlemen down here.
That's something that happened in 1972, isn't it?
It doesn't necessarily sound like a recent peeve. No. Firstly, how long ago was Steakgate, sir?
Steakgate was about 1984.
So you were doing that thing where you saved the juiciest mouthful.
The last, yeah, the best bit to the end.
And you just went in and had it?
No, she said, oh, you don't like that bit, I'll have it. And it's gone.
To remind you, empires have fallen since this episode, but not in this man's mind.
Do you still save the best to last? Because I used to do that. I used to save the best to last. And then as I got older, I think, well, I might die before I get there, so now I eat the best bit first.
I mean, I'm pessimistic, but I normally back myself to get through dinner with that. And then similarly, someone stole my orange juice that I'd been looking forward to having for breakfast and put the bottle back in the fridge empty. Yes. If this is your wife again, we'll have a conversation. Anyone recognise this? Do you know the culprit?
No, it was in university halls.
Impossible
so I never
to
knew.
Trace. Did you do anything? Like, did you retaliate?
I did post on the Facebook page.
We're not the generation that fought the war.
Read that on a not that there was Facebook when I was at university, but if I'd read that, I would have organised everyone to go every week and steal your orange juice.
Until he left the establishment. But then this is a sort of slightly another level of graciousness. One of my best friends dated my ex when I was still hurting. I forgave her and went to the wedding. Nah. Well, it's certainly gracious, but to the point of being a doormat, some would say. Who is this, if you want to come forward? What was the lag between you going out and the...
Couple of years, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we'd been dating... It was a long relationship.
Yours had been a long relationship. And then how long until the wedding?
Under a year.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a quick one.
I see, and dare I ask, has the relationship worked out?
Theirs or...
Theirs.
Yeah.
It has?
Yeah.
Oh, that's annoying, isn't it? There you go. Well, what we've established from that little passage is there's very little justice in the world, really. Some people steal your juice, some people steal your man. On we go. Whatever grace consists of, I'm going to need to find more of it as the years go on, if only because being a dad demands it. I'm only going to find myself more and more immersed in parental politics as I go on, and that means being gracious in some really tedious company. This is slightly dangerous territory here because anyone could be listening, but I'm in two WhatsApp groups. One for the parents in each of my kids' classes. It really is horseshit, most of it. It really is tedious stuff. There's one person in particular on the group for my daughter's class who has to respond to everything, even when she has nothing at all to contribute. Recently, someone said, can anyone recommend a painter decorator in the area? Immediately, up pops this guy. Sorry, can't help. You realise you can just say nothing. We do this on a plane. Is there a doctor on board? Hi there. Pushing to the front. I'm a landscape gardener. Wanted to wish you all the best. And you'd love to leave these groups, but you can't, because in amongst all the nonsensical chatter, there are these nuggets of really crucial information. Hey, just a reminder, tomorrow is World Rivers Day, so don't forget to send your daughter in dressed as the Ganges.
Mark, I think I might have just had a business idea while you were talking, because...
I mean, by all means, focus on other stuff while we're doing this. Yeah.
because I don't have kids, would you pay me to join those WhatsApp groups for you?
100%.
Because I feed you back the information you need to know, but also I can say what I like.
Sold. I'll pay you extra for any more open days as well. Yeah. Borrow my parent. No, you can't call it that. There's something else that, and it's unethical. I don't normally drop my son off these days. He's old enough to get himself to school, but there have been a few afternoons I picked him up, and each time I found myself glancing around the other parents, thinking back to my open day shame. Which of you was the anti-German mum? I wondered to myself, is it you or you? And it was only quite recently I thought back to the incident and remembered, as I did mention at the start of the anecdote, that the whole time I was ranting, I was actually signed in as my ex-wife. There won't have been a day that went by at the school gates without someone looking at her going, there's that mad one that said German was a treasure trove. What can I say? Don't divorce Mark Watson. But to be fair, my main advice would be don't marry Mark Watson. That makes it a lot easier. Luckily, my ex was a Tuesday's child, so I hope if she ever hears this, she'll be absolutely full of grace about it. That's it for this week. Please join me in thanking Angela Barnes. Now Flo and Joan are going to ask to play us out with a final song about what we've heard. Over to Flo and Joan.
Thank you very much. This song is called A Song for Graham from God. Hi Graham, it's me, God.
Your car stuck on the motorway because you didn't check that day to give your ride an MOT. So now you're stuck at junction 3. It's time to make a useful plan and bring in the recovery man. So you type into your iPhone screen to ring the number GOD. Oh no, no, no. Your dead battery. Come on, holy cow, your crucifix won't fix your problems now. The problem with you Grahams is you get in these to-dos and then call for me for help when the problem is likely, definitely always you. No, I can't fix your marriage and I can't love your kids and I can't help you forget when you French kiss someone that turns out was your cousin. You can try Ganesh, Allah or Mystic Meg, but you'll still be stuck on the motorway and I see no signs of this. Besides, how can you be so sure that I am even really here? There's several smart, plausible theories that I do not exist. Sure, it's nice to get a call, but how be sure I'm on the end at all? I remember Graham, Eisenbeisen, Schweinberger, Schlugenbogen. And that was German Graham for New Number Who Dis. Graham.
You're listening to Angela Barnes. I'm Mark Watson. This was Mark Watson talks a bit about life. Thank you very much and see you next time.
Mark Watson Talks a Bit About Life was written and performed by Mark Watson, Flo and Joan and special guest Angela Barnes. It was produced by Leanne Coop.
And it was an Impatient production for the BBC.
This is BBC Radio 4. The Archers is coming up in a couple of minutes after the latest news. First, let's turn our thoughts to Thursday evening's 6:30 comedy.
The storyteller and satirist David Sedaris returns to Radio 4.
I thought I'd support the movement the way I had become accustomed to, by donating money and then telling people I'd donated twice as much.
The author shares his incisive humour and social critiques of modern life and himself.
The moment I got my first vaccine, I started thinking of the coronavirus the way I think of scurvy. Something from a long ago time, something that mainly pirates get.
A new series of Meet David Sedaris starts this Thursday evening at 6:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.